We are in Doctrine and Covenants, section 49, and today we're doing verses 15 through 28, finishing that section and addressing some of the things that the Shakers had erroneously as their beliefs, and one of which that we're going to start right into is marriage. And so in verse 15, it says, "And again, verily I say to you that whoso forbiddeth to marry is not ordained of God, for marriage is ordained of God unto man." And I printed out the family proclamation to the world. And it says, "We solemnly proclaim that marriage between a man and woman is ordained of God, and that the family is central to the Creator's plan for the eternal destiny of His children." And then it says, "The first commandment that God gave to Adam and Eve pertained to their potential for parenthood as husband and wife. We declare that God's commandment for His children to multiply and replenish the earth still remains in force. Husband and wife have a solemn responsibility to love and care for each other and for their children." And then it goes on and talks about fathers are to preside over their families in love and righteousness, to provide for the necessities of life and protection. And mothers are primarily responsible for the nurture of their children, and that they are to do that as equal partners. And one of the things that really struck me in conference this last time is how many people addressed abuse in marriage and in families. And that just really hurt my heart. I said to my husband, "You know that the reason they're saying this is because they need to." And that is a chilling thing. And I realize with COVID, stress has gone up and families are together. But I love this reaffirming to us that it is ordained of God. The easy thing is to worry only about ourselves. And I do think that we know people who haven't had that opportunity, haven't been afforded that opportunity, that continue to try and be a mother to nieces and nephews, or a great uncle, a big brother, try to be involved in other people and in their callings and try and learn those things. And absolutely not having the opportunity and being lonely is a workshop in and of itself. I was just looking today and my mom posted this quote, "I have felt no greater pain than the moment when your heart stopped beating and mine carried on." And that's an amazing thing. We just have a friend whose daughter just passed away of cancer, and her husband died a year and a half ago. So now their beautiful six children are without a mother or a father. And their family will do an incredible job of stepping in. They're an incredible family, but it is not the mom and dad. And so it is not the ideal situation. It is heartbreaking for the grandma to watch her own daughter pass. But I also think of my mom after my dad passed. One day she came down and it was obvious she was very upset, and she was embarrassed that she was a little emotional, and so she left. And I went out to run errands, and I've said this before, I just started to really pray, "Heavenly Father, please explain to me, when you bring and seal a man and a woman together as one, and that is the greatest thing we can do, is to lose our selfishness and learn to really become one with a spouse and a partner in God. And the only way that's possible is in God, that we put Him first in our life, and then our relationship comes together because we both are desiring to be one with God. And how is it then when one goes and the other one feels like half of them has been ripped away or is missing?" And I will never forget the impression coming, your dad misses your mom every bit as much as she misses him. And there is refining in that loneliness, and there is refining in learning to work together for a common goal. And it is a beautiful, beautiful thing. And so I love in 16, it says, "It is lawful that he should have one wife, and they twain should be one flesh. And all this that the earth might answer the end of its creation." And as I just read, the end of its creation is to multiply and to carry on. And the earth is full and there is plenty for that. God ordained us and gave all things for our benefit and for our use. but he expects us to share, and we'll go on and talk about that and give to others. But the whole reason we are here is to live in families and in that workshop and to learn to be less selfish and to learn from other people. And there is no greater workshop. And those who have not had that opportunity will get that opportunity. And their job is just to continue to try and be one with God and wait patiently. And I'm so grateful for the prophet's wife, Wendy, and how refined she is. I just finished Elder Oaks' book and hearing about his sweet wife and the great things she had accomplished and was prepared to step in and be his wife. It is amazing. And so truly, there can be no mistaking. So I just love that testimony. And I can remember as a young girl being terrified and just thinking, I will just live on my own. If we had had such thing as nuns, I think I would have gladly signed up. And my oldest daughter said to me, oh, I would be a nun, no sweat. The terrifying thing is to marry someone else who has different personalities, different strengths, different weaknesses, different things that in their background and their upbringing that we have to learn to become one with. That is the hard thing. That is the challenge. It is a lot easier to just worry about myself. And so I really love this being in here, and especially in a day and age where marriage has become not the norm and half our church is single. And like I said, that is not always from choice. And so I don't mean to make light of that. And there is such growth in divorce and heartache and loneliness in that. And so I'm not trying to say that. But what I am saying is for our youth growing up, they need to know how important marriage and family is, that that is the greatest privilege and blessing, and they need to desire it. And as I've said before, one of the lessons that I get called to teach again and again and again is the principle of marriage. And I'm so grateful, and I'm always amazed the kids after are like, I want that so much. They do. We are hardwired to want that. That is the purpose. That is why we were sent. And so we can learn to become one with God and do that as best we can to wait patiently for that opportunity to come. But we are here to get married and to have families. And those who don't will have that opportunity in the millennium, because it is the greatest workshop God can give. Okay. And then it talks about in the handbook, Satan in every way that he can and with all his power endeavors to defeat the work of the Lord. It is his purpose to destroy the souls of men. And if he can prevent them from having bodies by teaching men and women that marriage is unrighteous or sinful and that they should not do it or that they want to do other things, then he succeeds. And I love that, because I do feel what a blessing marriage has been in my life and how grateful I am for my 6 children who have taught me infinitely so much more than I could have ever learned on my own. And my greatest joy is to think that I will be with them. And even things that they have done wrong and transgressions and sins and everything, they are still the 6 most important people in my life. And heaven would not be heaven if they were not there with me. And so that is the goal. And my husband is included in that. I said 6, that's the kids, but my husband first and foremost. Okay. Jump down to 18 and 19, and it talks about those that forbid to eat and abstain from meat. And that's just the word of wisdom. All things come to the earth and are ordained for the use of man. And that, again, is what I'm talking about. The earth, the Lord has provided us in his abundance so much, and our job is to give and to make sure others have it. And that is a huge thing in our church, is to be giving. And that is something that we hear over and over and over. I just don't think it's possible to give enough to be wise stewards and to be generous enough, is what I should say. It is never wrong to give. All right. And that's verse 20. It is not given that one man should possess that which is above another, wherefore the world lieth in sin. And to me, that just means be looking for those we can give and make sure that everybody has. It's just wrong to. It reminds me of that parable, walk on the other side of the road and see someone in need and in hurt and laying there and to ignore, thinking what our needs are more important than theirs. But our first instinct is to become like Christ and go and be the one who binds up their wounds and helps them in any way we can. So I really love that. Okay, and then jump down to 25. Zion shall flourish upon the hills and rejoice upon the mountains and shall be assembled together unto the place that I have appointed. There will be a place. They don't know it yet, but there will. 26. Behold, I say to you, go forth as I have commanded you. Repent of your sins. Ask and ye shall receive. Knock and it shall be opened. And the key is to repent. And then to ask, and he has such treasures of knowledge, as President Nelson has said again and again and again to us, oh, the mysteries that are waiting for us to be unfolded to us, if we will just be prepared and worthy to have the Holy Ghost with us and ask. And I love that. And then 27, behold, I will go before you and be your rearward. And I will be in your midst, and ye shall not be confounded. And what an invitation to have him walk with us and know that he is our safety and our protection, our guardian, our savior in every essence of the word. He is our protection. And if we are righteous, we need not fear. And that's what it means. It doesn't mean that hard things won't come. It just means he will walk in those hard things with us. And then I love in 26, I am Jesus Christ and I come quickly. And I just love that we don't have to feel alone. Those who wish to be married, those who are divorced, who have tried to live this law. I just had a beautiful class with our ward does a scripture class weekly, and it was on that, the atonement. And for those who, the real focus was on loneliness, and so many people shared their experience of divorce or never being married, and it just touched my heart. And the teacher said at the very end, there is no reason that we should ever feel alone. We have the power to walk with Christ, and our job is to align our life with him. And if we do that, all that he has promised will be ours. And so the goal should be marriage, but a good marriage. And so I love that. I also wanted to emphasize that as it talked about the blessings in 24, Jacob shall flourish in the wilderness and the Lamanites blossom as a rose. We know in conference, they just said that the growth outside of America is greater now. I think they said that. I hope I'm saying that right. But it does say that the growth is the highest in the church among Latin American descent. And so that is happening, and I just think that is a beautiful thing. I also want to apologize for calling Lemon Copley. I always do that. I don't know how to pronounce their names, and I hope that they will forgive me. But what a good man, and what a good heart. But again, like I said yesterday, we really have to place our all on the altar and put God first and swallow our pride. And these examples are here for us so that hopefully we don't make the same mistakes. And hopefully when we do, we can repent and ask the Lord for forgiveness. So I love this, and I bear you my testimony of how great marriage is and how blessed we are to know the truths we know. The church is true, and I hope you know how much the Savior loves you.